Hello, and welcome back to Hindsight 2020. We're excited to continue this adventure with you. But before that, recipe time. And this week for you, we have a lovely steak sandwich recipe.
Now, would I recommend you do this on homemade bread? Yes, but if not, go get some ciabatta.
Oh, yeah.
Grill up a steak, you know, medium rare, a little pink in the middle with a black pepper sauce, some veggies, some roasted veggies. It's an excellent dinner based off an Irish recipe. Or lunch. Mm-hmm. And makes great leftovers.
Anytime. Steak sandwich. Anytime.
And I didn't know steak sandwiches are Irish.
Oh, yeah.
We encountered them a lot in Ireland.
Ah. Okay.
So this one is.
This one in particular.
Yes. It's fantasy Irish, though.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Right.
There's magic in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Magically delicious.
It's an assault recipe.
Wait. Oh, no. Oh, no. I am so sorry for what I just inadvertently did. I guess I forgot something very important. Say hello, players.
Hello.
Hello.
Players.
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 That's us.
I thought that became a thing.
All right.
Good
to have everyone back. And, well, I've already given you the recipe. So without further ado, welcome to Hindsight 2020. All right. Last time, we started the preparations for a bit of an investigation into some goings-ons at Perlin's Plastics. After arresting the knight in Perlin's Pier, y'all came into town and met with Robert Perlin in his quite opulent and a bit gaudy manner, where he informed me that there were some misgivings about the finances at his factory. Essentially, he asked y'all to carry out an investigation under the guise of being new employees of Perlin's Plastics and try to figure out, I guess, how deep the rabbit hole goes. Is it someone up top? Is it someone on the, you know, the ground level? Like
halfway, maybe.
Halfway, maybe, exactly. What's going on? Where's it happening? Where's it happening? Why is it happening? And after which, y'all wandered back into the shops district of town, where you went to Mundana Arcana and got yourself some fancy magical stuff on loan from Madras Thessaldal. On Robert's account for the meantime. After which, y'all wandered off to the factory along the way. Boca figured out how to use her wand of web. Marion did a little bit of reading of her magical scroll, and Ziggy toyed with his lantern of revealing. Some samplings of the new toys y'all have. Y'all arrived at the factory, where you're greeted by a security guard named Nalasar, who just seems unhappy and nonplussed about just about everything.
Especially Jeremy.
Y'all were giving the pseudonyms Bobo, Zigzag, and Miriam.
A.K.A. the consultants.
I love it. Our aliases are the consultants.
After which you were met by Alzu Shadowcaller, an elderly gnome who is essentially Robert's second in command. He welcomed you to the factory, and that is where we find you now, approaching the building, trailing behind Alzu Shadowcaller.
All right. So, have you been here before?
Not this close.
Not this close. Oh yes. Are you from the area at least?
I'm new in town.
Okay. All right.
What are three other things about you?
I'm a chicken. I have feathers. That's all I got. I'm 3 feet tall.
Oh, dear. I don't understand the joke. All right, so, as you can see, this is our factory.
He motions to the giant square structure front of him. Big square windows with just kind of like yellowed window panes with the, you know, just like old rusted crossbars on the windows and some smoke stacks coming out. And he gestures off to facing the the building. Your right, his left. You're facing the building. He's facing out. Sorry.
Yep. He's facing us.
Yes. Gestures off to your right, his left. It's like,
over there is the warehouse area. It's where we keep a lot of our stores after they come in on the train yard, through the train yard from Perlin's Pier with all of our...
That must be the east.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Does the train yard connect directly to the factory?
Yes, there is a single line that runs from the train yard to the warehouse. It just makes it easier to load and unload cargo. But, well, that's the warehouses, but we're going to go in here.
He opens this kind of hollow metal door that kind of is all...
I'm going to bang the door with my wrench.
There's like an echo to it.
See if I can
it.
Make the squeak stop.
Okay. All right. Is there a check for... Does mending count as WD-40?
What is this? You could roll to see if it's an intentional squeak. If they put it there for aesthetics.
All right. Actually, you know what? Do a D20 roll and add your spellcasting modifier.
That'll be 8.
Okay, I rolled a 10, so the door just... the rest of the way open.
I'm just gonna glance at my wrench, a little bit confused, but shrug it off.
Okay, alright.
He's like, alright, this way.
And you enter into kind of we find a lot of open warehouse areas in this campaign for some reason. But you enter into a large building, and... in front of you is an area with essentially almost like conveyor belts. There's various mechanisms that are able to move product and pieces around. He's like,
all right, this is the factory floor. I believe one of you will be working here. If you follow me,
and he kind of gestures... off to his left, now westward. I really got to get this facing thing down.
All of us or just the one?
All of you.
Okay.
This is more of an orientation. I'll get you a little situated here.
And as you're walking westward, you can see like a door in the distance. And it seems like from your perspective, inside versus outside, you get the sense that... the room you're currently in does not take the full width of the building. And he's, just walking westward towards the store.
It's like, right, looking across the factory floor here, you can see, we just got a lot of mechanisms and contraptions. Over there, we have quality control. Over there, there's far side, there's a little bit of assembly. You actually, if you go through a door on the northern end there, you'll actually get into the full-on assembly area. And beyond that, there's some other just here and there. There's a bunch of doors in this place. You don't need to know about that. But here we go, off to what we call the main offices here.
And he opens this. Now it's more of like a hollow wooden door. It's with a little latch on it. It's a little squeak on that one.
We all look at Ziggy.
Yeah. He walks in, and he opens the door and kind of... the door opens on what is essentially the southern end of a long hallway. And as you turn to walk down the hallway, you see lining the wall on your left-hand side, there are various windows. And peeking in, you can see, peeking in through the windows or looking in through the windows, you can see what looks like a bunch of like mechanical typewriters or counting machines sort of things, a bunch of levers on them. And a variety of gnomes and dwarves and halflings and humans sitting at desks and just kind of very mundanely typing away. One has like one older gentleman has like an abacus looking thing, and it's like calculating and, working around. He's,
all right, this here is the accounting area of our building.
Mm-hmm. Can I take a quick look in? Are any of them wearing hats?
Yes. A few of them are wearing hats. They have, like, the the classic accountant green bill
visor.
Yes, a couple of them at least.
Any of them wearing chef hats?
No, chef hats.
They were cooking the books.
Unbelievable.
I knew that had to be going
it's
somewhere.
The sound
I
of just... everybody losing brain cells.
Everyone, absolutely everyone, done.
That was an excellent joke.
Yes.
No, it wasn't a joke. I was trying to see if they were physically cooking the books.
Like steam coming out of someone's drawer.
So we know Ziggy has never embezzled anything before.
What is this word, embezzle?
All right, further on here, keep on going, yes. Oh, here we have the mail room.
And you see two Arakakra running around, and they have, like, little envelopes, and they're putting them in little pouches on their back, and one of them actually opens a wide bay window on the far wall and, like, jumps out and starts flying.
Ooh, show off.
I've never seen you do that. Can you do that?
I can do something like that.
That's cool.
You've seen me do it. Remember in the...
Something like it, yeah.
Yeah.
A little further beyond that, you have another room. It's similar to the accountant's room. So it's like similar windows, similar desk setup, but no typewriters or like abacus type devices. And the energy actually seems worse than in the accounting office, because at least in the accounting office there's like that you know, as people are doing things, but this is just kind of like awkwardly silent, as there are like half a dozen desks with, you know, a couple dwarves, a human half elf, and actually a couple goblins just slowly writing, moving stacks of paper about. One of the goblin has like a little stamp thing, and he's like, looks like he's stamping invoices of some sort. And he's like,
this is our administration offices. You see a door on the far wall there. That is my office. I believe one of you will be following me around as my assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Another of you will be working in the accounting area. And another one of you, I'm assuming the one with the wrench, maybe, will be on the factory floor.
A bit presumptuous, but yes.
You just seemed like the mechanically inclined type, you know? Didn't mean anything about it at all.
He doesn't like how predictable he is, but it's okay. We're all a little predictable, Ziggy. I pat him on the on the hip, because that's where I can reach.
I'm not sure I did it at the beginning of this episode, because I think I did it at the end of last episode. Did I properly describe Alzu?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this...
Elderly male gnome, 150 to 200 years.
Okay, sorry. Now that you're, you know, following along, you get a little bit of a better look at him. You see that he has rather dark eyes.
Oh.
And they're accompanied by these very deep wrinkles in his face, and he has really bad crow's feet on the side of his dark eyes. He has gray hair that's like perfectly combed with a center part, and he wears a dark green coat over a white collared shirt, and he has a little pink pocket square and these little brown buckled shoes as he's shuffling around showing you the area.
It's like, all right, who has questions, I guess?
Yeah, what are the benefits like working here?
Well, you do work and you get paid money.
Okay, and what are the hours?
Well, I mean, sunrise to about dinner time.
And how many breaks are there during the day?
A couple.
Are there multiple shifts? Is there a night shift?
I mean, security tends to come around at night, but, well, you know. Candles only offer so much light. It's hard to work the books, and, you know, machinery seems a bit dangerous at night hours.
You don't have any arcane lighting?
No, not really. We tend to, we believe in our own product, so we use lanterns from the fueled by the whale oil that we get.
That explains the smell.
So you
you build you more get used than to it after a while.
You build more than plastic here.
Yes, well, you know, whale parts can be used for a number of things.
Then where does the name come from?
Well, I mean, that is... Robert likes alliterations. So once we discovered we could use some of the oils to make... refine into a, I guess, a plasticine material, we've, you know, he was like, aha! That's the new name. It used to just be...
Bit of an industry buzzword.
Yeah, it used to be Perlin's Factory, and that doesn't have quite the same ring to it now, does it?
He's right about that.
Yeah. So, for the most part, the plasticky stuff comes in we use it a lot for waterproofing fabrics, because you can, you know, if you get it very fine, you can weave it on in there. It's generally not strong enough for construction, but we sometimes use it for, like, decoration and wall mounts sort of things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, whale oils, lanterns need fuel. If you'll give me a second, I pull up more notes.
Food storage, maybe. If not, you should think about it. Waterproofing food is a good idea, especially in transit.
Also, why not Perlin's products or... Perlin's production, or...
Well, once you get plastics in
Perlin's
there...
Perlin's procurement.
Because how many plastics factories have you heard of, right? It's got an extra pizzazz of novelty.
Yeah, but now I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping there'd be more plastic.
Yeah.
You know how rare plastic is in these parts?
Do you know how often people visit factories? Most people just assume there's plastics here.
Isn't visiting factories like one of the first things you do when you get into
town?
This
is the first factory I've ever visited in my life.
Oh, did you not have factories on your island?
Not that I visited.
Interesting.
Certainly.
I'm starting to think that maybe I didn't have the normal childhood I thought I did.
So, you might have noticed the marketplace, the mercantile, just a little southeast of here, yes? Kind of hard to miss in this town. Well, along with bringing in some like farming products from Berlin's Pier and such, many of the goods, like machinery grease, lantern oil, soaps, paints, varnish, textiles, ropes, candles, etc., are products that we get that come from our whale oil productions.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's kind of the basis for trade in this area. And we stick by it to this day.
Do you ship in the whole whale or just the oil?
You kind of...
You
I don't
the
really
want
to go into the process here.
Have you never...
And throw it back in?
Sorry, let me more specific.
You harvest the blubber.
Do you
ship the blubber.
Do you also have a location then over in Perlin's Pier for processing?
I mean, there's some warehouses down there with some storage and some minor work to get things ready to be... brought here on the trains.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking?
Yeah. I thought this was the only factory, that's all.
Over there, it's more of a, it's more of a fisherman's job to, make the best use of the fish parts and get them ready to ship.
Where do most of your shipments come in from?
You mean from Perlin's Pier?
Is it only from Perlin's Pier?
I mean, we make things primarily from whaling products.
And do you ship things out?
Yeah, we do ship them out. Yeah, we provide, I believe we're the largest provider of whale oils and grease across the continent. At the very least, our products definitely make it to Isant, and I've heard a rumor they use it tomorrow, but it's kind of hard to tell for sure. I do believe there's a... I don't know if we made it out west. I believe our product's been shipped south as well. To some of the more remote desert areas. A lot of trains out there that still need to be greased and maintained, you know.
Is it unclear if any exports go tomorrow because it's supposed to be unclear, or are you having a problem with the books?
No, no problem with the books. It's just, we've been trying to broker deals with Morrow, and, well, they seem to be dead set on moving away from normal mechanical means to bit of the more arcane.
They're a bit snooty about it, are they?
Go ahead and give me an insight roll there, Marion.
Natural 20 for 23.
You, it is very, very slight, but you do get the slightest hint of unease. Like it was just like a little bit of an eyebrow raise, maybe a little dilation of the pupil when you ask about cooking up the books, like a little bit of the, how would she know something like that? Kind of vibe.
There were no chef hats.
But was very slight, and otherwise he just continued on with the conversation.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, there's only one rail that leads to the warehouse.
From the train yard, the eastern train yard, yes.
Oh, you have your own train yard here at the in the east end.
Yeah. Well, we have some warehouses that the tracks lead to, on the east end of our warehouse, which I just showed to you.
Yeah.
We have a giant warehouse you can actually drive the train into for unloading, and then
right
to brought back to the train yard. But otherwise, pretty much back and forth from here in Perlin's Pier. There is a train yard on the west side of town that connects to the greater continent, but that's more a passenger than cargo.
Okay.
One production type question for you. What is the current bottleneck in your process?
Current bottleneck? For the most part, something we've been trying to solve for some time is we're finding we needed greater amounts. Like we're not able to keep producing as much heat as we'd like to produce to melt down the blubber and be able to use it in other forms. It's just, we did well for quite some time, but production has just continued to increase, and we're hitting a little bit of a slowdown there, but,
takes a lot of fuel.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of fuel. But even in the, so we're trying to find means to replace the need for fuel. But the irony being, our product is great for fuel, but how do we use our product to then...
You can't use it all, because then you're selling...
Exactly, to create more product, and it kind of...
Have you looked into kind of some of the arcane options for a... infinite flame or ability to heat things to very high levels? And I'm raising my eyebrows slightly towards Bobo and Miriam. Will I do this?
We haven't really done much in the way of arcane. We don't have too many, practitioners in the area.
And the one that you do have is quite a snooty lady.
Oh, you must have met Madras.
Briefly, yes.
I just had this idea. You're going to say, oh, you've met my wife. Like, I felt like that was coming.
Do you know Madras?
Yes, I do. Her reputation kind of precedes her sometimes.
Is it snootiness?
A little bit. She, she very much believes that making her goods... giving limited access to our goods raises the prestige. So she has this weird social contract system to be able to shop there. You have to have someone vouch for you.
But it's like you walk in and it's an empty shop. Why come back? Am I right?
I have a question for you. Did you go back?
No.
Okay, then.
Why?
If you went back, then it worked.
Oh. Yeah. So maybe she needs to work on her marketing a little bit.
Uh, Is there anything else I can do for you before I bring you to your stations?
Yeah, where are the bathrooms?
Just past the mail room. Actually, you have to go through the mail room.
He can use the mail room.
What?
He's a male.
Oh, my goodness. you see the bird fellows. We're working in there. There's a door in the other corner where there is a restroom. That's probably the closest one without having to traipse your way back through the factory.
Is it all species restroom?
It has it's single occupancy and has a lock, if that's what you mean.
Okay, yeah, that works.
I think I'm going to use the restroom before heading to whatever location.
Zigzag, make a deception check.
Okay. Use the restroom.
All right. What are you trying to do? Let me see what I gotta make you roll, if anything, before we...
I'm trying to hint, kind of leaning my head a little bit towards the restroom to the other two.
Consider it picked up.
Do we need to go?
Okay, all right.
Do I need to go?
I was like, do I make them do insight checks?
What
do I
do with before, that? work.
Oh, okay, well, you'll have to wait turns, I suppose, but if you're just... follow me.
And he kind of walks you down to the mail room. It's like, that door over there.
And just come back to my office when you're ready.
Okay.
Sounds good. And I'll go into the restroom.
I'll hold your lantern while you're in there.
Okay.
I'm going to turn it on and take a peek at the mail room.
He has to dig it out of stuff.
And I'm going to go into the restroom and wash up.
It's a very bright mailroom. For the briefest of moments, you think you've found an invisible wall, but then you realize it's just the bay window is still open.
Oh. Ah, nuts. There's not something here.
I'll come back out. Restroom. Oh, sorry, when do you need to use it?
Why? Did we need to use it? I'm confused. You were giving mixed signals. Here's your lantern.
Thank you.
You can put it out.
You guys caught that, right? The dragon is clearly here.
What?
What?
The source of heat that they need.
Oh. But
it was a
poison dragon.
Maybe they didn't know
Do you
that.
Think they know that?
Well.
I mean, I keep making the assumption
whoever found out
it's not.
Might not be around anymore.
Mm. Yeah, because that's a red dragon you're looking for heat, right?
They don't really seem to be the type to be into
they
biology.
They are very arcane practitioners, yes.
Did Lenan mention scorch marks along with claw marks?
I don't think so.
Ziggy, are you going to be on the floor?
I think so.
Do you think you can swing getting a look at the train yard?
I can probably swing anywhere.
All right.
Where do you want to go, Bogo?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'll poke around in everyone's business as long as I can.
Maybe you should go with...
Oh, yeah. Are you going to do accounting or managerial stuff?
If you go
stuff?
With Azul, then you can probably interview a number of different people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right.
Plus, he doesn't trust me, but something's up with him in the books.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Oh, mm-hmm. You got it.
He knows something.
Okay.
I don't think he lacks me, so I'll go to accounting.
I circle his name on my suspects list and tuck it under my wing.
Keep a lookout for hats.
Okay. Why? What? What tap?
Chef hats.
Okay. Wait, why?
They're cooking the books.
Oh, I don't... Okay. That would be a little obvious, wouldn't it? If they all wore
I feel like
matching hats,
it's
gonna look out.
Maybe you'll see them with your lantern.
Oh.
Invisible chef's hats.
Does Auntie Grace know about this, or is she in on it? What if she's making them? Oh, it's a conspiracy across town.
Okay, you take
we'll
the,
find out.
Actually, no, I'm going
to
need
no,
the
you
lantern.
Have to keep the lantern, mm-hmm. just in case.
Okay. No, I'll take accounting.
Okay. Then I'll do that. I'll follow Azul. Azul.
Okay.
I guess I'll wash my hands while I'm here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Running.
Maybe okay. maybe fix my ears a little bit. Check the tail. Is everything fluffed? First day of work. Gotta look good. Okay,
you
I'm out.
Any fluff? Yep.
I'm going to talk to one of the Arakakra casually while they're using the bathroom. I'll be like, so. Okay.
There's only one here at the moment because the other one flew out.
Is a sustained flight a prerequisite for this job specifically? Or...
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have to...
I guess let me describe this guy. So this is an Arakakra. He has a little bit of a more of a hawk-like build in his beak. But he does have...
Freaking raptor types.
Predominantly kind of copperish feathers. But he does have little flecks of black around his head and neck. Mm. Along with... his arms are more of a... It kind of matched that copperish color more towards brown as opposed to like a bird yellow or golden that you might expect the feet and
claws
to be.
Are they sort of like human arms type Arakakra?
So, it's like the more human arm and the wings sprout out of the back.
Okay.
That sort of style.
So sort of like an Egyptian bird man.
A little bit. Okay. A little bit, yes. It's like, what was that?
I'm just wondering, you know, in order to get a job in the mailroom, do you have to be able to sustain flight, or is that just a perk? An asset?
I think as long as you're quick enough. It depends on whether or not...
You okay?
You're quick enough. Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes you just gotta squawk.
Yeah, I get that.
My name's Chent, by the way. What's yours?
Your name's what?
Gent.
Gent. I'm
J-E-N-T,
Bobo.
Gent. Bobo, good to meet you. Any,
do you ever squawk, Bobo?
Is that like an accent thing?
Accent thing? What do you mean?
No, that I'm making a SpongeBob reference. Okay. That's what we'll catch.
Clearly
it.
I never saw the listener's sake.
I don't understand your accent. Never mind. Oh no.
Vaguely.
Someone out there knows what I'm talking about.
Sorry for how loudly I left.
I think I know that segment, but not the context of it.
I'll send it out to you.
Sorry,
guys.
I think I lose it a little bit.
Just imagine him squawking instead.
Where were we? What were the questions?
I was mostly trying to just make casual conversation and subtly interview this bird man.
I'm sorry. So,
And while he's kind of talking, he's like shuffling some like letters around. It seems like he's got some boxes and parcels that he needs to pack, and he's kind of like packing and wrapping and getting things set up in bundles to be assumedly shipped off or flown off somewhere.
In watching him work, can I tell, would anyone in the mailroom have the ability to take part in this kind of a scheme?
Give me an investigation check.
You would have had advantage if you bought that hat.
Don't do me dirty. Investigation, you say? 16.
16, all right. Just kind of seeing, you know, slightly watching, you know, got those baka eyes shifting around.
Independently?
Independently, checking things out. You don't see anything that you would imagine to, like, be, like, hard money or cash sort of thing. But you do get the impression that perhaps there are, like, some of this carries, like, receipts or invoices or like financial reports that might be sent off to Perlin.
Okay.
Is there anything I can help you with, or are you here to help me? What's the deal here?
Just waiting for my coworkers. I might be back. I'm not exactly sure. It's my first day.
Oh, well, good to have you here.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for coming in.
So charming when you do that.
Anything else y'all want to do in the moment?
No. I guess we'll head back to All Zoo's.
Yeah.
All right.
Office.
All right. Good. Okay. You're all back. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
One, two.
All right. Yes. Toss it. Good.
Don't put him in accounting.
Yeah. Totally. I'm not an accountant either. It's too much for me. But I do like to stay on top of things. But numbers. Oh. So, which of you is going to be my assistant?
That'll be me.
That'll be you? All right, very good, very good. How are you How's your shorthand and note-taking skills?
Oh, I can take notes.
Oh, good.
I can take notes all day, baby.
Good, good, good.
I pull out my pen tied to a feather.
Oh, very good. I see you come prepared.
Do you have any extra paper? I am a bit short on paper.
You could probably get some from Gent in the mailroom.
Oh, okay.
Sitting back there just for another good squawking time.
Should I go back now?
All right. And so over in accounting, yes.
That'll be me.
That'll be you. And so you are our factory floor worker. All right, very good. Let me see. I guess you'll just stay with me. Do you need an escort down to accounting?
No, I saw it. You showed us on the way in. Okay. Good, I can good, head good. Back there.
Good, good. Okay. If you want to skedaddle off, I'll show you. I'll check in with you later.
Great.
All right. Very good. And I suppose we should get you to the factory floor.
Let's do it.
All right. All right. So, all right, follow me.
And he starts to kind of trace back the way towards the factory floor. He's like, all right, so... We have a couple
different operations going on here because there's the whole process of getting the blubber, melting it down, actually running it through machineries to process it, filter it out, refine it, etc. Are you like a smelting guy, a machinery guy, a conveyor belt
guy? My real specialization is fixing things.
Fixing things.
I was thinking it might be interesting for me to take a look at the end-to-end process and see what maybe could use some touch-up around here.
All right, follow me then.
And so over, a period of 5 or 10 minutes, he takes you to the eastern end, essentially, of everything, basically up to the warehouse. And it's like,
all right, as you can see here, the warehouse is where we keep our product.
And he kind of opens a door, and there's a bunch of ruckus and noise going on. It's like you get a bunch of humans, half orcs, dwarves, etc., just being like, hey, get those boxes over here, I'm trying as fast as I can, put her back into it, stuff like that. Wow. Those are characters now.
This is a great tour.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's from here. You see they're unloading one of the cargo trains. And,
so evens or odds there, Ziggy?
Even.
Even. Odd, unfortunately. Seeing the train that they're unloading, it does not appear to be the one that you and Audrey worked on.
Uh-huh. Probably in a museum. That's what I'm thinking to myself.
They retired that baby and put it on display
for safety reasons.
Past safety, thank you very much. Is the storehouse warehouse here also where you keep the spare parts if one of the conveyor belts or something breaks? I'm interested to see just what you have on hand.
I think we have more of an actual storage room next to the
Oh, okay.
The machinery room. Very complicated in our naming systems, yes.
Actually, appreciate how straightforward it is.
You know, it can't get too complicated. Machinery A, machinery B, so on and so forth. Yeah. It's not get too crazy.
So he leads you on. It's like there's essentially like a little, almost like a chute that they can put boxes on and slide it down to the eastern end of the factory building where more guys are taking them off and putting them on kind of conveyor belts. He's like,
all right. And then through here, the conveyor belts here, they run off to our smelters. You can see from this side,
you can see what looks to be various copper pipes that are kind of exuding heat. Like when you look at them, you can see the wavy variations in the air sort of thing. And but the way they're set into the wall, you're actually only seeing like half of them. And
he's like, the heat source is on the other end. It's kind of restricted for safety reasons unless you're actively working on it. And
kind of gestures off, and you can see, there's a big past the copper piping where you can see you know, just a little bit of the, it's still being distorted by the wavy heat, but there is a door with like a big red restricted with a red box around it.
It's like, oh yes, so you need special permission to get into there for maintenance purposes.
And keep shuffling along outside, out of the smelting area. You have essentially almost like a holding area of these giant heated like steel and iron kettles and urns that seemingly hold melted blubber and other such product.
Ew. It's like, ah, from here it gets poured off into a variety of machineries. If you, for instance, down that conveyor, you know, there are a bunch of canisters, and it kind of depends on where it goes as to which canister it goes in. But if you send it down that way, you end up into soap making. If you send it off that way, we're dealing more with machinery grease. And if you send it that way, you're dealing more with, like, the actual, like, the waxes, oil, like burning oils and stuff like that. So very flammable that way. You might notice it's the opposite corner from the heating department,
smart,
the smelting. And otherwise it just goes into a series of smaller processing rooms as things get heated and reheated and refined more, and other, you know, chemicals and materials are added to it to harden it into plastic that can then be shaped for different fittings and things like that.
So is the storeroom then you mentioned before, is that around here?
Yes, of course.
And he, you know, continues. Because by this point, you moved from, I'll draw it for you.
A map.
So if you had to, that's bad. That's really bad. But it's essentially it's a square building. And the western column is that row where the administrative offices, the county offices, et cetera, stuff like that, right next to that is the hallway. This kind of southeastern corner is that initial room that y'all walked into. And what he's kind of being walked through now are these upper rooms that kind of just continues on westward. So we're going to hit a point kind of in the northwestern corner, but separate from the office space. He's like, yes. Here's our nice little storage room in here. It kind of, storage is more warehouse.
This is broken parts, basically. So you can see, and he points to a rack with like a bunch of gears of various sizes and metals.
And you can see some of them, the teeth have worn down. Some of them have outright broken teeth. Some of the thinner ones are actually kind of bent, so they're no longer straight.
Ooh.
And, doesn't work anymore if you have a bent gear. In addition to that, there are various metal arms with like holes on each end that you could use to, you know, make levers and sockets and like the machinery arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there
cambers? Something like that?
Are there also like any buckets or things of different things like bolts and whatnot?
Oh yeah, bolts.
And there's kind of a there's a giant like old wooden crate essentially that's just kind of like, it looks like it was, it's so old and just kind of haphazardly nailed together. You get the sense that as it's aged over time, they just kind of just kept hammering the nails back on this thing to keep it intact. But it is filled with various like nuts, bolts, screws, nails, etc. So you do have to do some digging to find exactly what you're looking for. But it's just,
that's a lot of nuts.
I can feel that coming my way.
But then I'm gonna grab a handful of them and of the nuts and the bolts and put them into my pouch, which was starting to get a little light after.
How many can you imbue at once?
3. But I have a pouch full that I needed to restock.
Yes, all right.
These will come in handy later.
Okay, good. I was like, it's interesting. I just... just taking some liberties, I see. Okay.
Are there... Looking around the room of broken stuff, is there anything that looks suspiciously clawed and or bitten and or... monster destroyed?
That's right. You would be following me around, wouldn't you?
Theoretically.
Thank you, Bobo. I know. I just completely... go ahead and give me an investigation check.
Okay. That's a 20. 30, 20.
Okay, so you're looking around the room, and for the most part, it's a bunch of shelves with you know, the gears and everything that I just described to Jared there. But something does kind of catch your eye, like kind of shoved into a corner back behind some of the shelving. It's like you don't have to approach it and dig for it. You don't draw Alzu's attention to it, but you see there's some old metal plating back there that seems damaged. Like badly damaged from claw marks and possibly bite marks.
I am going to write scribble on a little piece of paper.
Okay.
As subtly as I can.
Okay.
Bite marks on plate metal, whatever corner of it, the room it is, and then the room.
Okay.
And try and tuck it into Ziggy's pocket.
In my head, it's behind the northeastmost rack in the room.
Okay, so northeast corner, storage room.
Right. Do I notice you putting it in my pocket, or are you trying to be subtle about it?
I'm going to try and be subtle about it, because I know you're not sneaky.
Okay, do a sleight of hand check against Ziggy's passive perception.
Nat 20.
Okay, well, you're lucky because my passive perception is 8.
Knew it would be an easy one. All right, so you are so stealthy, like, you can almost, you know, people can throw cards, like, accurately and quickly sort of thing. Somehow just, like, at a distance. It's only a couple feet. It's not a huge room. But you wait for the moment where Alzu's kind of just looking at some of the stuff on the shelving. It's like, we really should do something about all this. And you just flick it. And it tucks into his belt.
It
tucks right into, as he's pulling his hand out of the pouch after having put the nuts in there, the paper just slides right in.
Oh. Nice.
Is there something you do want done about this stuff?
Preferably we wouldn't have so much broken stock about, but, it'd be nice if this was, like, replacement parts as opposed to broken parts, you know. But, you're asking to stop atrophy and, you know, the turning of time and so on. It's all been replaced. It'd just be, maybe we should just junk it.
Were you here when some of this stuff was new?
No, I probably was, yeah.
I know it's tough to let stuff go that you've seen from the beginning.
Is there some philosophical meaning behind that?
No.
Okay. I got nervous for a second there, but we'll take note.
Noted, sir. Afraid of philosophy is what I wrote down.
Is there anything else you'd like to see before?
No, I think that's good. I think I will start taking a look at where I think I might be able to help out, but if there's anything in particular you want me to take a look at, feel free to point me that way.
If you'd like, you can check with Growlithe over in machinery.
Growlithe?
Growlithe. Growlithe.
The Pokemon.
Growlithe. Is there a
Growlithe?
Growlithe. Oh, gotcha. I was like, is there a Pokemon named Growlithe? Because I'm going to be very upset.
I was like, I made that up. Don't do that.
That was Growlithe?
Yes.
Growlithe. Grawless.
Solar.
What does Growlithe look like?
Oh, he's kind of a short, stout little mole person. Usually has some big old goggles as he's running around the workshop scampering about fixing things.
I'll look for him. Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
Where are we headed?
All right, for now we're going to go back to my office so I can deal with some paperwork.
Okay.
I'll set up a chair for you so you can, respond when needed and take notes and such.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to lag as I follow him out of the room.
Okay.
and try and whisper to Ziggy, check your pockets on the way by.
I guess give me just like a stealth check.
Okay.
I guess it'd be against his passive perception.
Still 8, by the way, for passive perception.
No. Passive perception of Alzu. See if he hears or not.
Oh, I'd assume it's also 8.
What am I even looking for? Stealth. That's 19.
19. Oh yeah, no problem. Mike Alzu just keeps on walking on out of there and heading back towards his office.
I'm gonna scamper in. Past.
All right.
Then just to close out what I'm doing, like I will look at the pouch then just to check.
Okay. You find the piece of paper which reads, what does it read, Boker?
I can't remember what I said exactly, but it said, monster marks, ? Northeast corner or wherever
right,
he said
right,
it was.
Right.
So I'll,
in this room.
Take a look at what's back there.
Okay. So as you go back there, because, you know, now that Alzu is gone and Boa was followed, you see there's a giant sheet of metal behind one of the racks. And if you want to move the rack, do you want to move the rack?
Yeah.
Okay. Move the rack to get a better look at it. You see, it is like a plate of, it's like a flat plate of sheet metal, iron, possibly steel. It's like 2.5 inches thick. And on one end, it has just been absolutely rent through, like with just claws, just
ooh,
tore through it like it was nothing. And wow, it was just leaning, pushed up against in a dark corner in a dark room filled with broken parts.
So is there a door to this room?
Just the door that you came in.
So it is... can be a closed off storage.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to close that door behind me and pull out the lantern.
Okay.
And let it be the source of light in here.
Okay, sounds good.
And then I want to just investigate a little bit on the claw marks and the rest of the metal there. If there's any indications of, would it be acid or?
Oh, poison.
Poison or like some other kind of corrosive type of damage.
Okay. Give me a nature check.
I think you meant to say investigation, but...
No, I definitely meant nature.
Oh, no!
That's a nat one.
That's a nat one. You're like,
I'm a natural at this, is what that
creature
means.
Creature claw marks. Mm. I wonder if I know any creatures.
Could Boko have done this? No.
Yeah, so you like, aside from being able to obviously tell that like some large creature clawed through this, you're unable to glean anything additional at this point in time.
Okay. And then I'm going to just also take a look around the room with it being, I'd assume, bathed in the light from the lantern and see if there's anything of note in here.
Not really, aside from just having a bunch of, you know, mechanical parts that have just been thrown back here. There's another sheet of metal, but it's much thinner, and it's like it doesn't seem to come from the same source as the clawed metal. And it's just, I don't know.
Okay.
Like a 2x2 square sheet of like essentially like aluminum siding, more or less, just sitting in a corner. But that's the
exciting.
Only other thing that's tucked away anywhere.
Then I'm gonna head out of this room and put the lantern away and see if I can't track down Gralus.
All right. We're going to transition to Marion a little bit. Marion.
Jeremy.
What do you do wandering off into the accounting room?
I still have the cloak around me.
Yeah, you can still wear the cloak,
and,
of course.
She's going to hunch a little bit more. Her ears almost appear to get a little bit grayer.
Ooh.
And walk into the accounting department and say, excuse me, I'm a trainee today, and I'm just wondering who I'm supposed to talk to.
All right, that would be me.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said that would be me.
Oh, hi there, young man.
I Hi there, old woman. Name's Banst. How can I help you?
I beg your pardon, what's your name?
Banst.
B-A-N-S-T.
I'm Miriam.
Alright, good to meet you, Miriam. I'm the guy in charge of the accounting department here.
And it's like this, he's a half-orc, but he's got a short for a half-orc. He's only in, 5'10", which is, that's pretty short for a half-orc. But he, despite his gruff accent, he has a very nice button-up shirt on with, a little bow tie.
He has
these pants on that are, unfortunately, even at his height, are just a little too short for him. They're these kind of green tweed pants that just show just a little bit too much of his ankle.
Slightly nerdy.
And he has suspenders on over his shirt that match his bow tie. And he's like,
so, what do you know about numbers, huh?
Well, anything I need to know since I got here, huh? I know my basic arithmetic.
All right, well, that's most of what we do around here.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So, I think there's a desk available in the corner there, next to Tenault. And,
next to who?
Tenault. T-E-N-A-L-T.
Well, I don't know why you're spelling it for me.
You've questioned me on names a couple times. I just thought it'd make it easier for you.
What was that?
You've questioned names a couple of times.
I thought I'd make it
easier for... Yes. Just go talk to Tenault, I guess.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Burns.
Head to the back to Tenault.
Did you just call him Barnes? Oh, man. What is happening right now? I am...
I don't think anyone's going to watch what they say around someone who can't hear.
Yeah, probably not. You got a fair point. So you wander off to towards the corner desk, and there's an empty desk in the corner, the one that Ben's directing you towards. And next to that is a little small desk, just a little wooden desk, has a little green placemat on it with a little cup with a couple different pencils. It looks like at the top part there is, for some reason, a T-square sitting there. This is an engineering department, so it seems kind of out of place. But he does have, similar to everyone else, this kind of mechanical typewriter-looking device with, a bunch of numbers on it. And there is a... yes, ma'am?
On her way back, which is going to take ages to walk to the back of the room, with the walking stick hunched over, I just want to be scanning to see if anyone seems more well-dressed than anyone else, has, a nicer jewelry or something on the desk or anything that.
Give me a perception check.
Has ill-gotten gains?
Seven.
Seven. Not that you can tell.
You're too okay. In character.
I need glasses, but I refuse to wear it.
As you approach the desk, sitting at the desk, is a little satyr. And he has this... he seems like a youngish guy, maybe his early 20s, but still very boyish in the face, despite his little black goatee. And he has this kind of curly... brown hair. It's really thick. It's weird. The goatee is actually darker than the hair on his head. And he has two little nub of horns sticking out of the top of his head. And he's wearing more kind of a polo, as well as little shorts with his little brown satyr legs sticking out.
That's what I was going to ask.
We're not indecent around here.
That's very cute.
He's got a hole in the pants for his tail, Bugs Bunny style.
Me too.
You get it.
Hi there.
All right, I hear you're the new one around here.
Yes,
name's
sir.
Tenault.
Hi, I'm Miriam.
Good to meet you, Miriam. Your first day, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, how do you feel about it? It's a kind of a new adventure, yeah?
I'm nervous, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's very good. I'm very happy to be here as well, And that's your desk over there behind me.
Oh,
for the most part, we're just going to be giving you lots of papers with lots of numbers. It's your job to add them all together. And, well, just, I don't know, track where the money goes, you know?
Okay.
And then at the end, we hand everything off to Banst, and he hands it off to Alzu, and then off we go, you know?
Okay, that sounds good. Will you stop by my desk later?
Sure, I can do that.
I've got to show you my grandchildren.
All right then. How do you are they stopping by? How are you showing me your grandchildren?
Oh, I've got just a book full of drawings for you to look at.
Okay then. All right.
I'll name them in alphabetical order, maybe, by age. You just let me know.
All right, maybe I'll stop by after lunch, you know?
Okay.
We'll see, though.
Thanks, Tennel.
I got a lot
to
do
today.
All right,
no problem.
So, more by the second, actually.
And I'll go over to my desk and sit down.
Sit down. There's a little bit, a stack of papers, and it's, for the most part, you have very... it's a stack of invoices, basically. Most of them for smaller amounts. They seem to belong to smaller accounts. Like, they're not really giving the new person big things to deal with. And for the most part, you're just tracking ingoing and outgoing cash to this particular client account.
When I gaze through the room, does anyone seem to be working at a different pace or doing something a little bit different than anyone else?
Give me a perception or investigation check.
To figure out which is higher. It's a natural 20 for 21.
All right. From what you can tell, the one of the quicker workers in here is Tenolt himself. Part of that youthful vigor, you know. Banst is a little on the more relaxed side, but just the way he carries himself, it's like very proper, it's very upright. It kind of in contrast to the gruff voice that I gave him, but at the very least, he seems to know what he's doing and seems efficient in his work. Otherwise, I mean, there's a older female dwarf who seems a little bit lost and confused, but you know, maybe she's just new as well.
Or maybe she's putting it on as well.
Yeah, otherwise, no one else sticks out to you.
Okay. I'll look at the invoices. And does anything look off there?
Not that you can tell, no.
Okay. I'll do a little real work while scanning the room.
Okay. Sounds good. Is there anything that you wanted to do, Obo?
I'll just, you know, follow Azu. Maybe if I'm sitting behind him at his desk, try and snoop while he's not looking.
Okay, alright, go ahead and give me an,
snoop and check.
Give me an... What kind of snooping are you doing, I guess?
Well, let's, is he gonna be on, like, a typewriter or something? Or I'll be taking the notes, probably, right?
Yeah, you'll be taking the notes. So you kind of get, like, so if he has, like, a big desk, you have basically, like, the student desk. There's, like, just enough space for you to have, like, something to write on or a typewriter.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm going to ask him, do you mind if I pace while I write? I find it helps.
No, that's fine with me, as long as you don't click-clack too much on the,
floor. Oh, I can write it with a... Oh, with my claws, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll be quiet.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll try and... just as I'm writing, sort of investigate, peek around at what's, you know, on his desk and around the room.
Okay, okay. So give me
a nature check.
Either a perception or investigation check.
Okay. 13.
What you are able to see on his desk, just as he's working and stuff, you can see that he's working out of some form of ledger, that it seems not unlike the more well-worn ledger that Perlin had this morning, that Robert had this morning.
Not unlike, did you say?
Not unlike it, okay. Yeah. And other than that, you can see there are some what appear to be letters sitting on his desk.
Mm.
But that is... Sorry, what, you said 13?
Yeah.
13, okay. So you see some letters on his desk. Sorry, I hate the way I just went.
Couple of A's, couple of C's. There's a D in there. One E.
Strictly the common alphabet, though.
Yeah. So you see some letters on the desk, on his desk. And other than general correspondence, one does slightly catch your eye. It seems to be some form of communication about setting up a clandestine meeting of sorts.
Ooh.
You are, however, unable to see
yes.
who it's from or when the meeting is.
Okay.
Or what it's about, even.
The lantern. What if there's invisible ink?
I'm gonna just tuck that info away for later and okay. keep doing my job like normal. Like he would expect me to do.
The look Josh gave you, I mean, yeah. I felt pressure on your behalf. I don't know.
No, that was, I was trying to, I was scheming in my own mind, so like, no. I wasn't realizing, one of those times where you're not actually processing what you're seeing. So yeah, other than that, I mean, for the meantime, Ozzy's gonna continue working.
Okay.
Ziggy, you're wandering off to go find Growlithe, yeah?
Yes.
All right. So you wander off to some of the more, well, wander your way back to the machinery room. You kind of walk through it briefly to get to the storage room. And essentially, there's just a bunch of giant machine arms and gears and other turbines just working and twirling. And I guess give me an insight check.
Nat 20.
Okay.
And that would make it a 20.
You are pretty well versed with your mechanics, so you have a pretty good idea of what all of these arms and gears and turning things do and which part of the factory they might relate to or power is not the right word. The part of the factory it would locomote.
Emulate?
Emulate, yes, something like that. So I truly think my DMing would get like three times better if I just learned English vocabulary. It feels like that
it's hard
sometimes.
To do as an adult, though.
Yeah, you know, we don't have weekly quizzes anymore.
Yeah,
I gotta learn 25 more Spanish words by Friday. Oh no, I guess that's not English, but you know,
yeah, still
choice.
It's a vocabulary.
Anyways, so I guess you're looking for Growlithe, yes?
Yes.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And I know where things are going.
You know where things are going and what they do sort of thing. And so there are a few different people running around. You got a couple half-elves that seem to be, tightening. Currently not moving, immobile, a currently immobile mechanical arm that seems to be related to perhaps to the smelting operation.
I'm going to shout over to them. What's up with that machine over there?
It's just stuck.
Dealing with a lot of side fumbling or something?
Sorry, what?
Just, it looks like it's been shaken out of place quite a bit.
Yeah, every single one of them. Over time, it happens.
Yeah, it happens, you know. But I think we got it. Who are you?
Oh, this is Zigzag. I'm looking for Growlithe.
Growlithe. Oh, yeah. These over there underneath the gear mounts.
Sounds good. I'll go look for them there.
All right. So you walk over to in the direction that these half-elves gestured, and there is like what literally looks like kind of a stack of gears. And they are rotating, but they're kind of rotating different directions, right up against the wall, connected into other gears that are halfway embedded in the wall and seemingly connected to other mechanisms.
Well, that's
further
neat.
Inside the yeah, further inside the interior. I'm glad you think it's neat because
be a shame if someone threw a wrench in the works.
And, wouldn't it? but the bottom gear on the stack is probably about like 5 feet in diameter. It's like really wide and probably about 4 inches thick, and it's Ooh. Rotating little by little, almost like the way a second hand moves on a clock, where it's just like a little click at a time sort of thing. And sticking out from underneath that, you see what looks like a little pair of mole feet and some denim jeans.
I'm gonna bend down under the gear stack and say hello.
What's that?
Is this Growlithe?
Yeah, it's Growlithe. It's Growlithe. Give me just a moment.
You can see him kind of wiggling stuff.
Could you actually grab my feet and pull?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm gonna grab both feet, okay. Like one foot in each hand, and just yank really hard.
Okay. So you yank really hard, and this mole person just comes sliding out. And he's wearing this little squat guy. He's in full overalls. Doesn't have a shirt on under the overalls. Just full on overalls, and he has kind of ashy gray fur around underneath, and just like the thickest goggles you have ever seen. Like they almost look like they should magnify. They're like that thick.
Like, all right, so can I help you with something?
Yeah, first though, those goggles are pretty interesting. They do anything for you?
They help me see.
Oh, are they like night vision or something?
No,
or?
I'm just nearsighted.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's my first day, and okay. I was told to help out around here, see what could use some fixing.
Oh, what could use some fixing, huh? Well, right now we're just kind of in maintenance mode. I was just under there, you know, greasing some of the gears.
I can help with that.
Oh, you want to do that? Okay.
I'm just going to cast grease on an entire stack of gears that's right there.
just full on splat.
Okay, well, there might be a little bit of overkill, but you didn't use any of our products for that, so I guess that's okay.
Do you have a spell? Grease?
Yep.
That's so funny.
Excellent.
It creates grease.
Yeah. Great for tripping people up in the hot pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's very good. So,
Or maintenance.
Yeah, so we're in maintenance mode right now. We do have a little bit of a maintenance check out on the furnace room, trying to get everything up and running a bit better.
Oh, I can head on in there and...
Well, you still need to get the proper clearance from Alzu there. He's,
he told me you would have that.
Why would he tell you that?
He just said I'd be working with you and that you would take me in there.
Oh, I'm not even allowed in there without proper clearance from Alzu.
Oh, it's a one-off kind of thing, huh?
What do you mean?
I just figured, like, I hold out my badge or, like, identification. I just figured it's mine doesn't work and yours would.
Well, I mean, I get access to a lot of places in this, or a lot of areas in this place, but it's still, like, you need a work, like, proper permissions on a work order to be allowed access into gotcha. There. But yeah, I mean, around here, we're just kind of continuing to maintain some of the machinery arms, and, yeah.
Around that time, you hear, like, a... And you look behind you, and the arm that the two half-elves have been working on starts to slowly, maybe kind of sort of start moving and working again.
He's like, oh, yeah, see? Those guys, they know what's up. They know how to work. I guess can you use that grease thing to continue working on these? Maybe go grease that arm they just got moving, huh?
Sure, if that's what you think is needed, I can just take a look around what may need some help.
Okay, yeah, look around as you will. So, work as you see fit. So, we're as long as you're working, we're pretty okay with things, you know?
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. I want to take a look around then and see. So, I know the door that's like the red border and stuff is the one room into the furnace area. Is there any other entrances visible from here?
From here, in this room, You would see a door off on kind of the northern wall. And that's about all you'd see from in here.
Okay.
And it's unclear where that door would go.
Hey, Growlithe, where does that door head?
Oh, that's just if we ever need to go to the lower level to get underneath the machinery. It's a little staircase, and we get some... it's not much. It's like 4 feet of clearance, but some of the shorter fellas, they fit in there quite nicely. We just send them under there if we got something loose, keeps things from being, you know, we try to keep everything bolted to the floor, keep everything in place, and sometimes that needs to get replaced, you know?
Mm.
Alright, so, anyways, actually, do you mind teaming up with someone for today?
Did you have someone in mind?
Yeah, I got this guy Jeremy, who might be able to show you the ropes.
Yes!
Sure, sounds like a great guy.
We got Jeremy.
Sounds like a tool.
Hey, who said that?
Alright, sounds good. Jeremy?
Yeah.
Alright, Jeremy, come over here.
What do you want?
And slowly kind of milling around the corner, little bobble back and forth, is this this kind of short, fat dwarf with he has kind of a pretty short beard for a dwarf. It's kind of it's only a couple inches long. You can still see his Adam's apple. Like it's that short of a beard. He's like,
so what do you want, Grouse?
Well, this is a new guy here. I thought maybe you could show him around some mechanical stuff, maybe show him some things that need to be fixed.
I know I have to do that. I don't really want to do that, you know?
Well, I think it'd be very nice, and, well, it's the new guy, you know? Give him a chance, huh?
Okay, fine.
All right, thank you.
Growlithe wanders off.
So, what do you know how to do?
Well, my specialization is disencabulators. Do you have any of those here?
No.
Okay, well, other than that, it's basically anything mechanical.
Okay, well,
trains.
You know, I don't really want to do this, so,
What's your story?
My story.
With your clearance.
Well, you know, I grew up here, got a job here. Now I work here. I'll probably die here. That's all there is to it. Huh?
Is the pay good? Benefits good? Like, what keeps you here?
I like to eat, and this place gives me money.
Now, Lysar wasn't wrong.
You might not have been wrong.
Have you thought about what more pay might be able to do for you?
I don't exactly know how to get more pay accepted. You know, do better and work longer.
Have you asked for more pay?
No, I haven't.
What would happen if all of the workers down here on the factory floor just decided to not work for a while? Would everything stay automated, or would it shut down?
At some point, it would shut down. And also, but how do we eat? If nobody works, nobody gets paid, right?
Well, yes, in the short term. But in the long term, we eat a lot more.
But what if I don't survive the lack of food to make it to the long term?
Does have a
worthy
point.
Cause.
My death is no, a no. worthy cause.
No, it's just a worthy cause to be willing to die for.
Get him to me. Give
me a persuasion check. I don't know where I'm going with this anymore. Give him a persuasion.
That one.
All right, well, I'm going to get back to work. Don't bother me,
hey,
please.
Hey, Ziggy, how's it going? I've got nothing so far.
Sorry, what'd you just say?
I said nothing.
Oh.
Leave me alone.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, this is... Okay, I thought you were Jeremy. I met Jeremy. Total tool.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Same.
Anything on your end?
Well, there is... And I'm going to look around and just make sure nobody's in the immediate, like, vicinity, earshot, that kind of thing.
You're pretty clear. Also,
apparently, your whisper... Only you can hear your whisper, I think, in response. Can reply in a whisper that... Oh, no, only I can hear. I was like,
okay.
That's shocking, but
so
I was
be
like...
careful about
why I have to tell everyone
me,
this?
Like,
yeah, you do have to be careful about who's around you.
Okay. Well, found a lovely little mole person who works on some of the bits and odds and ends around here. Things seem to be running pretty well. I think our efficiency's up. I think if we keep at it, we're going to be at full production for the rest of the day.
That's great, Ziggy. And the assignment from, you know.
Oh, right. Yes, that work. Yeah, sorry. Different work.
Yeah, okay.
For that one, there was one piece of metal that was pretty clearly damaged by some sort of animal. I know that much for sure.
Oh.
In the storage room, and I can see... Though.
I can't give affirmative words. Sorry.
You said that to yourself.
Yeah. How to get into the furnace room is something I'm trying to figure out right now. I think whatever is in there is what's going to be more interesting. I don't know if it's waiting until after dark to come back or if it's a matter of just seeing if there's maybe another way in. But I heard that you require papers and permission from Azul to get in.
Let me work on that.
How goes your search? Find any hats yet?
No hats. But I have a few plans. I'm gonna get in touch with Boko about those papers.
Sounds good.
Hey Boko, how's it going? I got a few questions for you, but do you have anything to report?
I probably can't whisper in here, huh?
Okay, wait, what is this language?
May I read this out loud?
You can step out.
The target and only the target hears the message and can reply in a whisper that only you can hear. What does that mean?
Oh, that means that you can talk silently with other people around is how I would interpret that.
That's kind of what I thought, and then I backtracked.
Like, it's telepathic just between the two of you.
Right.
Okay.
So I think neither of you has to speak out loud.
Ziggy was, though.
Has to, yeah.
Then I will...
It's up to you.
Think, whisper, back. What did you ask? Sorry.
Have you found anything? Basically. Oh,
I found a letter on Alzu's desk that might be suspicious. I'll have to get a better look at it, though, if I can get a look at it when he's out of the room.
That's great. Ziggy also needs papers to get into the furnace, but he thinks something's up in there. Do you think you could maybe get a document giving him permission?
Ooh, I could try. Maybe if we get a story about something going wrong in the furnace room going?
Yes. Okay. Okay, good. If we need...
I can try and get a word in for Ziggy.
Maybe if we go in person, you and Alzu, you and me, we'll think on it.
You can be Alzu.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we'll keep working.
All right.
You, me, and Alzu, the people.
Jeez Louise. So.
I don't think he has a peephole in his door.
Okay. So by this time of day, you're... nearing lunch, perhaps even a little past noon sort of time. So there's been a lot going on with the meeting, going to get the goods and coming here, getting the full tour and everyone doing a little bit of work. So it might be closer to 1 o'clock than noon. And Alzu is like,
"Hey, Bobo, I'm going out for lunch. I'd appreciate some privacy, please. I will... I'll see you within an hour, I imagine."
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bobo.
Where do I go?
It's your lunch hour as well.
I forgot to bring a lunch today.
Hmm. That's unfortunate.
And he walks out the door.
He walked out the door?
Yes.
I'm in his office alone.
Yes, you are in his office alone.
I'm gonna... wait a little bit, like maybe 30 seconds to a minute, count to 60 in my head, and get lost around 40, and then get back on track, and then go, "That's probably 60. And then I'm going to look for that letter I found on his desk.
Okay.
And see if I can glean the details.
Okay. So you start rummaging around, and you see the letters that, like, you kind of recognize from the stack. the one letter that appears to be missing is that letter.
Crap! I shouldn't have waited 60 seconds! I'm gonna scramble out of the door and see if I can find
it. All right. So while she's trying to time this one, this will be interesting. So you're in the office searching, scrambling, trying to discover what I just told you. Marion, give me a perception check. And you say you've been looking around?
Yes. I was also hoping to talk to someone, but I can wait on that if that's better. I mean, this was really bad.
Okay, okay. I was going to say, give me if you're actively looking around, give me a perception with advantage.
Oh.
That's why I asked.
Yes, but is that, should I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was bad. No, so let's see what that was on the ground. Like, I'll look what that was after, though.
It's not great. Was the ground one amazing?
No, everything was bad. Nine.
Nine? Okay. All right. So you said you wanted to talk to someone?
Yes. I wanted to go to Temult.
It's an N.
Temult.
Sorry.
Yeah. I have two N's written down. Those are two N's.
Gotcha.
Temult?
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Well, I was just wondering. Alzu seems like an awfully frightening person sometimes. Is there anyone in this office that's close to him that I could talk to about maybe developing a relationship with Temult?
Off the top of my head, not really, no.
He doesn't talk to anyone particular?
He talks to the head of the various different departments, you know, and sometimes he Bance talks to him, but it's more like Bance reports to him that, like, they're not, so far as I can tell, they're not really friends, you know?
Yeah, oh, I see. Well, thank you. I made a mistake on one of these. Is there an area that people tend to discard their mistakes?
I mean, like, there's...
Is there, like, a paper?
There's, like,
shredding animal? That's what we used back in the day.
It's just a beaver in the corner that eats the paper.
It's very Flintstones at this point.
I'm old.
Wait, there's there's a waste basket in the corner over there. But if you go into the mail room, they do have things.
Paper guillotine.
Yeah, the paper guillotine. Yeah, I don't know why I'm talking to her like that. She's not here. But she has like a paper guillotine. You can cut it really finely if you like. But and then, you know, toss it in the wastebasket there. But that's the best you can do.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there anything in the wastebasket?
It's in just paper shrapnel, basically. So you just throwing it away in the room?
No, I'm going to go into the mail room.
You're going to the mail room? Okay. All right. You go to the mail room, start cutting things up. And as you are cutting things up, you just see a bit of movement out of your eye past the doorway. And that's it.
So at this point, Jeremy has left me. He's not interested in hanging out. Okay.
He's not interested in hanging out at all.
Then once I'm alone then from them, and I take it, I've waited a couple seconds and I haven't heard back from Miriam, so I'm assuming that I'm not going to hear anything for a while. What I wanted to do is head under.
Okay.
Underneath and see if there's another way that connects to, like, if there's some other passage that connects to kind of the furnace room from underneath.
Give me an investigation check.
18.
18, all right. Okay. So, looking around the room, there does appear to be some sort of...
The underneath room?
Yeah, I think, in the underneath room. There does appear some kind of, some 2 foot wide, 2 foot tall floor duct of some sort that goes eastward out of this room.
I'm going to peer down that ductwork and see how far east it looks like it goes.
As far as you can see in the, you know, like it's a duct, so it's not lit. So it goes straight from as far as you can tell.
I'm going to pull out the lantern and have it not open all the way, because I assume I can kind of gauge the hood a little bit so that it's only shining about 5-10 feet, and just poke along there a little bit, but stop to see if it's getting hotter or anything like that as I move that way.
Attaboy.
From what you can tell, just from like trying to poke your hand like through the, you know, there's like a grate over the duct.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going to be able to reach particularly far in, kind of hard to tell any temperature difference without actually, like, taking off the grate and working your way in a little bit.
Okay. How's the grate connected?
Just, you know, screws.
Oh, okay. Then I'm just going to...
You're a handyman. Open the grate. You'll figure it out. All right. So you unscrew.
I'm
going
to attempt to do it quietly, though.
Okay. All right. Give me...
I imagine this is fairly noisy still with the machinery on top of stuff.
Yeah. Literally under the floor that the machinery is bolted into. So it is quite loud. You can pretty easily open it up without anyone noticing.
Okay.
You're able to open up. And... I'm assuming you enter and crawl into the grate.
Yes. And outside the game question, mechanically, can mending be used to screw something in? So if I were to pull the grate back behind me and then tap it to cast mending, would it screw itself back in? Or probably
lock yourself into the furnace duct?
I don't think so, simply because... Like, the language is very particular about, like, a break or a tear sort of thing. If you had, like, mage hand or something like that, you could probably use that to screw things in.
Is the grate wide enough that I can, if I hold it back up, I can reach through?
Odds are even, Jared.
Even again.
That's a 7, unfortunately. So, no, not wide enough that you can stick your hand through.
Okay, in which case I'm just going to hope for the best and head down the duct a little bit.
Okay, so you kind of gingerly lean the grate up against the duct. So, you know, from a distance, like, yeah, it kind of looks like it's on, but, you know, from the side angle, it's clearly propped up. Whatever. And you start crawling, and it's actually a good, like, 30 or 40 foot length that you're kind of army crawling your way through before you start to get a hint of like warmth and heat coming from the direction you're heading. And if you continue for another 10 or 15 feet, you actually do start to see a source of light beginning to glow into the duct that you're in.
Is the duct where it is just straight up a path towards that, and there's no up or other directions or anything like that?
There is, I guess you would have passed one about 20 feet or some odd ago, and there is like a little bit of an up, but it looks like it leads more to like a floor grate. So if you want to check that, I'll do either an investigation or perception check on that.
Yeah, I want to check the floor grate.
Okay, yeah.
That'll be 12.
12? You can't tell exactly what room you're looking at, but there are, you can see forms of people running around, moving about. But it seems to be like normal factory operations, not like the furnace room that's off limits kind of thing.
Okay. Then, and how far away is this heat source?
From where you are, probably another 40, 50 feet.
Okay, I'm just going to test that the grate above me is easily movable, like the floor grate.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, simply testing it, you are going to feel it's fastened, and you can probably assume that it's attached in a similar fashion as the one that you removed.
Would it be something I could break through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could definitely...
Oh, okay. Break. So yeah, we're not talking like a sewer grate. We're talking like an air vent. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could definitely break through it if push came to shove.
Okay. Or if wrench came to vent.
Basically, yes.
That would fix it.
So I'm going to take out a couple of nuts and bolts and just get a little closer and then toss them down the vent and just... As a basically a check that we're not talking temperatures so hot that I need to be seriously concerned about going that way.
You toss them over and
I'd assume the vent, by the way, is metal too, so it's probably already.
What about your wrench that you can grab back? You see how hot it is when it comes back to you.
Ooh.
Oh, did I just hear my conscience? I'm gonna pull up now.
From what you can tell, it doesn't...
Okay, you know, then I'm going to head towards the the source and see just how quickly it feels like it's ramping up.
Okay. Yikes. All right. We're going to come back to you in just a moment. And so, Marion, you saw a little bit of movement out the corner of your eye. Boko, you found the absence of letter and you start scampering. Well, Marion, what do you do?
I'll look towards the ocean, but if I don't see anything, I'll look back at the mailroom workers and go to the nearest goblin.
Okay, give me a perception check.
Eight.
Eight? Okay, just give me a flat dex check.
Ooh.
You see a feather.
Whoops.
17. Plus two.
Yeah, you have no idea what that motion was that went by the door frame.
You did hear that, though.
Yeah.
Followed by a gasplade.
So, Marion saw that flash of movement. Boko, you are starting to fly on down this hall in hot pursuit.
Not literally, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, no. But presumably trying to catch Alzu, yes?
Yeah.
All right. Marion, do you go to peek outside the door?
Not if I didn't notice anything pass by.
I did mention you saw a blur before yes. we cut away from you.
And I looked and then rolled. So did I see anything after the eight, I guess, is what? And then if I did, I will look out the door. But if I didn't, I won't.
The blur out of the corner of your eye is all that you really saw.
No, I think Marion's more intent on talking to the mailroom people than following the blur.
Okay. There are no longer people in the mailroom.
It's empty.
Yes. The
Oh, it's lunch hour.
Hmm?
Is it lunch hour?
It is lunch hour, yes.
I want to look for mail for Alzu.
Okay. Give me an investigation check.
Whoops. That's still bad. Five.
Five?
It's going real badly.
Bunch of mail. Nothing to or from Alzu, as far as you can tell.
Interesting looking.
No, not really. Not at all.
Man, where did everyone go? I'm going to go look for people. The mailroom people.
Okay. So you exit out of the hallway and go ahead and give me another perception check.
Six.
There they are.
It's a poster on the wall.
you see nothing down the hallway. Boko, you zoomed down the hallway at quite a speed and can kind of come to the doorway that leads into the large room that you were initially brought into on the factory.
No sign of Alzu, huh?
No sign. Give me a perception check yourself.
Okay. Oh, crap. Seven.
Seven? You do not know. Like, you do not openly see Alzu. What you do see is you see the door on the far end of the southern wall that y'all first took to enter the building.
Mm-hmm.
You see a door on the far end of the northern wall, which Alzu mentioned led into more of the machinery factory area sort of stuff. And I think in this room, that's all you really see at the moment.
I'm going to go towards the entrance.
Go towards the entrance, all right.
And open the door and see if I can see him that way.
Okay. You open the door. Give me another perception check.
That's an eight.
You do not see Alzu.
Nuts. All right, well, okay, one last thing. I'm going to scramble to the other door and see if there's any sign of him that way.
Give me another perception check.
Running around like a chicken with my head firmly on. That's a 14.
14? Make it in here now. You see a figure that you think is Alzu going through a door on the eastern wall.
Ooh. Gnome size?
Yes.
I'm going to follow.
All right, you follow him. Back to Marion. What are you doing in the absence of the male people?
Trying to find anyone.
Just anyone?
Well, where did everyone go? Some must eat lunch together. Mm. I want to pick some brains.
Not literally. Maybe literally.
Depends if they're on the menu.
just south of... are you going north or south from the mailroom?
Which way did we come? We came in from the south?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, then I'll go back out through the south. Okay. In a direction I know where I'm going,
So you walked south, and like for the most part, the accountants are still in the accounting room. It seems...
They didn't go to lunch.
A couple of them are missing, but the remaining ones are more or less just eating at their desk. Very sad souls. Mm-hmm. Beaten down by years of
Getting
math.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, keep going. I'm kind of looking for south? The goblins.
Okay, you keep looking for the goblins.
They were the only goblins okay. that I saw in the building.
Right. So you continue south. You eventually hit the door with the larger warehouse sort of thing. And, yeah, I guess give me a perception check in the area.
I mean, it was a 2, so I don't even know.
You
3.
A 3. Okay, you
50% better.
You're in a giant room of a factory. Stuff is happening. Who knows what is happening?
I'm clearly hungry. I'm pulling out some berries. I'm going to eat a little bit. I'm just tired. A lot of numbers. A lot of people.
Okay.
I'm going to keep searching.
All right. You keep searching. Where do you search? You're going to keep searching around the room? You're going to go through a...
I'm going to go outside.
Okay.
See if anyone's kicking it outside.
All right. You can go outside. Sure. So you exit and the factory, and all you really see out there at the moment is Nalasar just munching on a sandwich in his little security booth.
I go over to him. What happened? Hi, Nalasar.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I understand your demeanor, and I've only been here not an hour.
That really weighs on you after a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the big guy said that you know how to get some extra coin around here.
Some extra coin? Why would I... What?
You know what I'm talking about.
Why would I know how to get extra coin around here, huh?
You know who sent me.
No, here. I really don't, man.
All right, bye, Nalasar. Okay. I'm going to go. I'm going to try that on every person I see.
Do you want half a sandwich? No.
Oh, that's real sweet. Here, sure. You want some currants?
Oh, that'd be great.
I picked him this morning.
You know, balanced breakfast and all, or lunch, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Recess trading.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
Bye now, sir.
I'll see you around. Thanks for the berries.
Thanks for the sandwich.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone I was nice to you, though.
No, I won't. Don't tell anyone what I said, either.
What?
Nothing. Bye.
I like the matching tones.
So you wander off back inside. Okay, you're in hot pursuit.
Yep. A figure.
Of a figure.
No, right. Size.
So you, I'm in hot vent.
Yeah.
Bust through the, are you...
Ooh.
How is your pursuit through this eastern door?
If I just saw somebody go through,
okay.
Did they seem furtive, or was it, did I see enough of it?
Remember that talk about English vocabulary earlier?
Oh,
can you define furtive
sneaky?
For me? Thank you. So what was your... Do you remember what your perception check on it was?
I have an 11 here. That would be plus 2, 13? That sounds correct.
I thought it was 14, so that sounds right.
Oh, yeah.
That range.
Okay.
Isn't it 14?
I guess you'd have to... I guess, give me...
It would be 14.
Give me an insight check, I guess.
That's 5 on the vibe check, my man. That's a 6 total.
All right, you really couldn't tell. You, like, just saw a figure just slip its way through the door.
So I'm going to run up to the door top speed and then open it a little bit and peek through.
This door kind of more or less stays open.
Ah.
So it's more of a, you're just running up to a door frame and peeking around sort of thing?
Yeah.
So you peek around and you do indeed see, well... first off, you're peeking into what appears to be the smelting room.
Ooh.
As described to Ziggy earlier. There's some, there's a couple like furnaces about, but they're kind of inset into the wall and you're unable to see, you know, what's on the other side of the wall. But you do see Alzu kind of a bit quickly, but perhaps with an air of caution, trying to look casual, walking up to the restricted door. And though he is like manager here, he does have access here. He clearly doesn't want to be seen, or at the very not, maybe not seen, but he doesn't want to be noticed accessing this area.
Am I close enough to glean how he gains access?
Give me a perception check.
Please. That's not good enough. Oh, it changed.
What was the first number?
The first number was a 3. So that's a 6.
Difficult to tell.
He opens the door.
Can...
Oh, I wish I could see the
door. Is it just a wide open hallway?
It's a wide open room, and there are some, like, there is, you know, smelting equipment and stuff. So there are large pieces of machinery about, but it's not like from the western wall of this room where the door is to the western edge of the northern wall where the restricted door is. There's not really anything between you and him.
Could I try and dart behind a piece of machinery that's closer to that door?
Yeah, give me a stealth check.
I'm begging you. I'm begging you, Dice. That's a nat 1! Get out of my life.
You're fine.
So, you full on trip into a box that's holding like old broken machinery parts and, you know, presumably smelting equipment that's been decommissioned, and big loud clatter as Alzu quickly turns around. Give me another quick perception check.
Ooh. 5.
Quickly turns around and is like,
Herbo, what are you doing here?
Well, gosh darn it, this ain't the cafeteria. I thought there was a cafeteria.
Give me a deception check.
Darn it. Okay, that's... hang on. That's a 7.
Lucky for you, he rolled a 4.
He's so nervous.
Okay, well, You know what? You know what? You shouldn't be... You're still new. You shouldn't be wandering alone.
And he looks around the room and sees a female orc standing near some of the smelting equipment. It has kind of like a gray shirt on with black pants, and has like a little tiny badge that for some reason has an RP inscribed on it, sort of thing. RPS, actually.
Rhonda, proud. That's her name in my head.
RPS, actually. Oh. There was an S on there.
Uh-huh. I was like, Mogak, can you, escort Bobo here,
Rhonda, clearly.
to the lunch area, please?
Well, I suppose I can. Were you not shown that at orientation, Bobo, is it?
Yes, it's Bobo. Thank you. I'm sure I'll find it eventually.
Give a persuasion check against
Mogak. A convincing
Mogak.
Face. Your face said, but will I?
That's a 15.
All right.
Progress.
Well, I mean... I'll escort you out of here simply because Alzu, you know.
Right, yeah,
but,
yeah.
After we get through the door there, you can.
Okay.
I'll trust you, you can find it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I can figure it out.
And walks you to the door, sort of thing. And she's like, all right, just. Shoo. Toodaloo. Whatever. All right.
Thank you. I'm going to pause and then in my head scream, Marion! in my loudest internal whisper, just in case that works.
It's so funny because I was thinking of interrupting you with the message.
I was like, well, no, not yet. I definitely was expecting, I'm going to try to sneak back into the room.
That's my next plan.
And I promise we're getting back to you.
All good.
I swear. Marion, what are you doing at this time?
No, I'm back. No one's out here. I'm going back inside the building.
Back inside the building.
I'm going to take a different door.
Okay, the only other door is north end of the building, north end of that room. Okay. And you enter it right about the time you see a chicken being escorted by an orc
and then
out of an eastern door.
Stopping to make a constipated face.
Bobo?
Oh! Miriam!
Is that in your head or do you see her?
In my head I go, it worked.
Is the half-orc still here?
No, she more or less just kind of, once she chewed Bobo off, the end.
Oh, it's so good to see
Alzu's
you.
Alzu's back there, and he's doing some sneaky stuff.
What?
Can you pretend to be somebody and go,
hold on, I'm pulling out the dust of invisibility, I'm going to throw it on the ground.
All right,
and it'll take both of us. Yes.
It'll take both. Yes, it will take both.
I'm sorry,
you.
I'm sure I'm supposed to sprinkle it, but I felt like I wanted it to hit and poof up on us.
Yes, yeah, that was very traumatic.
So
very
good.
I believe...
This day is going so poorly all for right. me, Miriam.
Accounting is such a bust.
Roll 2d4 for me.
Oh, no. Could Jared roll it for me? Gosh.
There's only enough of it for one use, so y'all two are invisible for...
6.
You two are invisible for 6 minutes.
Woo. We've got all right. About 6 minutes.
Okay. Let's go. I'm gonna grab her arm, and if I can find it, I'm gonna reach for her arm vaguely, and then
all right.
Sprint towards the door.
So you sneak a bit of ways, and you head off towards the restricted door, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once you reach the door, who wants to guess evens or odds?
Evens.
Yep. That's what I was thinking.
It is a 4, so the door is actually unlocked still.
We open it.
Yeah.
Slowly open the door.
Slowly. Of course.
Yeah, sorry.
So it could seem like a gust of wind.
Invisible.
So you begin to slowly open the door. Each of you give me a stealth check with advantage.
Oh, I'm using the 2 new ones. I need a half.
I'll be right back.
Gotta go get the thrown dice.
No. Sorry, it knocked the other one. Okay,
it's landing on a 1 over there.
No, it didn't. That's amazing. Stealth 19.
Very good.
Okay, with stealth, oof. 11.
11. Okay, so not great for you. But, I mean, you are still invisible even if a sound is made.
I should mark that.
So
that's gone.
Sloop on in.
Sloop.
And... finally, sorry, back to Ziggy. So sorry.
This tunnel's really long.
Yeah, it's a very long tunnel. You're about to understand why it was a very long tunnel. So, Z crawls on, continues crawling through the air duct. He hits a grate on the eastern end. Appears to lead into another room. Peering through the grate... you see a very brightly lit room as you feel just an immense amount of heat on your face coming through the gate. Not enough to burn you, but it's like, it's sweltering. It's
you are sweating
just a little bit beyond sauna sort of thing. I guess I should have explained that when y'all opened the door and did your little sneaky thing, it was also quite warm. But perhaps not.
Man of fire.
But perhaps not indiscernible from the smelting room that you were already in.
Right.
So Ziggy crawls up to the grate, and as he peers in, what he is able to see before him, a large room. From your vantage, on the northern wall, there is a giant... there's a 30-foot-wide inset into the wall with a large... copper furnace that is just pouring off heat. On the far wall, you can kind of see two smaller furnaces that are kind of, they're more like 10, 15 feet or so wide, inset into the far wall from where you're on. With the heat that you're feeling, you get the sense there are other furnaces near the wall that you are currently on. But what catches your eye in the middle of the room is a large wooden turnstile that stretches up to the ceiling, and tied to the turnstile is a large green dragon, cloth wrapped over its eyes, mouth lashed shut, and ropes and fabric tied around its torso to strap its wings to its back. And it is harnessed to this turnstile as it slowly plods its way around the room. With that, you hear a voice say,
"Huh, I guess the wind blew the door open."
You see what you presume to be the feet of Alzu walk up to and shut the door.
Good.
And that's where we'll leave it till next time.
No! No!
And we're in that room.
Yes.
And Ziggy's behind a grate.
Yes.
Looking into that room.
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's a secret entrance into this room from...
Oh, man.
All right.
I'm so stressed out right now.
I mean...
What else is there to say, huh? What else is there to say? But, well, here we find our protagonists coming across a essentially gagged and bound green dragon put to work at the plow, so to speak. Two of our heroes invisible within the room with Alzu.
For 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And Ziggy.
We could kill him.
Yeah.
All we have to do is open the dragon's mouth.
Ziggy peering from afar through a floor grate. And yeah. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Well, we'll see how this plays out next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.